With their sponsorship of episode 214 of the Read to Lead podcast, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software is making it easy for you to try them out with absolutely no obligation. Get access to 100% of FreshBooks features for 30 days when you visit freshbooks.com/read to lead and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Are you waiting to get the next big speaking gig? Are you waiting to publish your book? Are you waiting to get the next big client? Or are you being proactive about that? Are you really looking to create that into your world?
Hi there, and welcome to the Read to Lead podcast, the podcast dedicated to your personal and professional growth. I'm Jeff Brown, and believe that if you desire to achieve true success in business and in life, then intentional and consistent reading is a must. The Read to Lead podcast is going to help you narrow this important reading list and also bring you key insights and valuable ideas from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. You and I are being joined today by Gene Hammett. Gene is the author of a book called The Trap of Success, a brutally candid guide to overcoming your fears, finding significance, and attaining profound success. I'm going to be asking Gene about crafting a mission and vision for your life and business that paves a path to results, the difference between pivotal moment courage and everyday courage, dealing with a limiting mindset and your truth versus the truth, and much, much more. You know, my truth used to include the idea that I needed to do everything myself if I wanted it done right. Can you identify with that? Well, I've learned a lot since then. A lot has changed for the better in my business since I started letting FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software do some of the heavy lifting. As a creative, I need time to cultivate fresh ideas. And I find that by using FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software, I save hours every week and have more time to let my creativity flourish. For example, I can create branded invoices in just seconds. I can enable online payments in just two clicks. There's an online projects feature where I can invite employees or contractors to collaborate and easily share information, files, and updates. If you've not yet tried FreshBooks, now is a great time as FreshBooks is offering an unrestricted 30-day free trial to you as a listener of Read to Lead. You don't need a credit card even. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/read to lead and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's freshbooks.com/read to lead to take advantage of that free 30-day trial right now. Gene Hammett is an entrepreneur, author, speaker, podcaster, business strategist, and coach, a regular contributor to Entrepreneur. He has also been featured in Forbes, Success, one of my favorite magazines, Business Insider, and Inc. And his podcast, pay attention here, you're going to want to check this out, Leaders in the Trenches, has been recognized by Inc. and Entrepreneur for its insight on marketing and sales leadership. I think by mentioning that, I now have some podcast competition with my listeners, Gene. Gene's latest book is called The Trap of Success, a brutally candid guide to overcoming your fears, finding significance, and attaining profound success. Well, welcome officially to the Read to Lead podcast. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. It's I've been a big fan of what you're doing for years.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Gene kicks off the book with sharing that the worst thing that ever happened to him ended up becoming the greatest gift that he'd ever received. So, Gene, I thought it would be great, if you don't mind, to share a bit of that story.
Sure. I can go right into the heart of it. I was waiting for the most important phone call of my life, and it was from my business partner, my best friend, who I had a contract with, and I had worked about 18 months to put together this $3 million deal, and this was the final stages, and that phone call came in, and he said, "I got a problem." And we talked about a bunch of things in that call, but what I really zeroed in on is, like, it's the first time I felt in my stomach that this was not going to happen. It wasn't going to go the way I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was running a pretty successful business. I was doing about $5 million in revenue. I was doing international sports tours. I happened to have been in Vancouver. I had 10,000 customers waiting on me. I had a contract with the delivery of their tickets and everything, and it never came in. So that one day ended up being absolute, like, bottom of my life because of the doubt that it caused, and it got worse. I think it got, you know, as you had to start dealing with lawyers and even the law enforcement to try to figure out where this money went to. I mean, it was a nasty deal, but that one day was the worst day of my life.
Yeah, the feds kind of had to step in, didn't they, and determine that you were innocent in all this. And
yeah, I was a little upset with my attorneys on that, because we had you know, massive amounts of documents. And, you know, I didn't give someone a bag full of cash. I had wire transfers. I had all this stuff that really showed where the money was. And I got grilled by the Secret Service for a few hours.
Wow. Well, after this, Gene went on this pursuit of significance, as he calls it. And I want you to describe, Gene, that process and why you've come to realize that without significance, something that was basically absent in your life, has got to be a part of this equation. Without it, nothing else matters.
I'd have to go back to where I was with my business before everything fell apart, where a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur. They want to have millions of dollars in revenue. They want to have a team. And I had financial freedom. I traveled the world. I went on vacations. I had, you know, the sports cars and everything. And, you know, just something was missing. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I wanted to do more in that business, but I wouldn't let myself. I was scared to let go of the success I had to go after the innovation I really wanted. And so I wasn't evolving the way I wanted to, and I wasn't making a difference in the world. I was just making a lot of money. And so I realized after losing everything, looking back at my life and trying to, you know, as Steve Jobs says, you can't see the dots connect looking forward. You have to look backwards. Mm. That's not the exact quote, but I had to look backwards and see where I was completely chasing the wrong path for me. And it was eye-opening, and it hurt, and it was scary. But I had to figure out what would make me feel like I'm growing in this world, and that feeling of significance. And that's really what it's about. It's not about, like, I'm not trying to be, you know, it's not about my ego. It's like, can I provide value to this world? Because I wasn't before. I learned, and I kind of, writing the book helped me kind of organize my thoughts. It's a really good tool to put everything out there, and then you try to organize it, make it make sense. But I learned that success without significance is very typical. We think that we'll get success first, and then we'll have significance down the road. We'll give to charities, or we'll do whatever it takes. But we get stuck with buying things, and we get stuck with that lifestyle, and that's what happened to me. And so I learned looking back that I'd rather have both of them at the same time. I really think they kind of dance together, and they really feed off each other. And that you build a life worth living when you do that.
Yeah, and the whole book really is a framework for shifting how we think about those two things. What advice would you give to someone, Gene, who asks a question I've been often asked, as I know you have, like there's one blanket answer for everybody. How do you define success?
You know, why do you want to define success first? Like, if you're looking for more money or more free time, or, you know, just freedom of life, those are some big factors of success. But I also think that, you know, really, what do you want to do in life? Like, what is the legacy you want to leave? And are you able to do that? That's a better kind of question, and to really focus on what do you want to be known for in this world, not just what do you want to have?
There's a chapter that you title Reinventing Yourself, and I want you to describe these two factions, your truth versus the truth, I think is how you frame it.
Yeah, you know, we live in this world based on what we grew up with from kids and what we learn from friends and our parents and those around us. And as we go through life, it becomes the truth that we know. But really, if you start to look at this, and you really could look at it from an objective point of view, it really is just your truth. And you are living and you see data as your truth. Like I was talking to a client earlier today who really was not being the kind of leader that he wanted to be in his business. And he talked about what he was really doing and what was going on, but it happened to be his truth. It wasn't the absolute truth. And making that distinction between what's really going on versus what you think is going on is part of you learning to move forward, or in being self-aware about yourself and your own limiting beliefs.
Speak to what you've learned about mindset and the need to go beyond that and really just think bigger for ourselves.
I do a lot of visioning with myself. And when I got back on my feet and started becoming a coach, and this is about 6 years ago, I wrote down about 10 or 12 things that I wanted to do in my life. Mm. I accomplished them in like 10 months. and there were two on the list that I didn't accomplish yet. It was like the money thing I didn't accomplish yet. But all the other stuff I did. And I thought to myself, looking back at it, I'm like, well, I've got to redo my vision. And I started thinking, why do I have to redo it after 10 months? Why am I so limited in what I can see for myself that I could accomplish that in 10 months? Like, that's ridiculous. if you're sitting back thinking about what you want to do, I think you should really think bigger of yourself. Think bigger about what you, the impact you can make in the world. And it's not about the fancy cars and the fancy trips. It's about what you could really do with your life and how you could really impact others. And that you really owe it to yourself to think bigger, and that will drive you to show up in a different way in the world.
We really have a lot more control over what happens to us than I think we often allow ourselves to believe. I'm a big fan of intentionality, as I know are you. What are some strategies we can employ to help us get better at being proactive and Gene, spend less time being reactive?
I believe you create the life you want, and you can't wait for the opportunities to come to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to really look at yourself. Are you waiting to get the next big speaking gig? Are you waiting to publish your book? Are you waiting to get the next big client? Whatever it is. Or are you being proactive about that? Are you really looking to create that into your world? And I think that when you can understand within yourself where you've been reactive and make intentional decisions about, do I want to be proactive here? Is it really necessary for me to create a strategy and work that strategy every day and set big goals in this and show up in a different way? That's what you want to be looking toward in many cases of your life. I speak a lot, Jeff, and I travel the world. I've got a speech I'm going to in Canada. And I got that speech because I was proactive in many ways. Like, I could go back and remember many different pieces to the strategy about being proactive with that one client and even what happened before that, because this came from speaking at a previous gig 2 months ago. All of that came from being proactive, and it all stems back to my days of running a business I wasn't really thrilled about running. And I just showed up every day and took it as it came. I made more money, but I wasn't really living my fullest self.
Well, I think a lot of people would identify with this. I'm a person who once relied on a steady paycheck not that long ago, benefits, vacation days, the things that made me feel comfortable, right? And I'm not saying this is necessarily a path for everybody, but for me to be all that I was meant to be, it took me breaking away from that to places I wasn't necessarily comfortable going, at least not at first. What are some ways you help clients, Gene, make that transition?
So I work a lot with people that are already leading companies, and they're already successful to some level. And it works for people that have a paycheck, but I help them really think about, what do they want to create in this world? Like, what is the mission that they're really on? What is the vision? And the distinction between the two are, the mission is, what change do you want to see in the world? And the vision being, what will it look like once you've changed it? And so I really think that when you can get people to see a bigger self, a bigger view of their world and their impact, then they're going to want to figure out how to make those changes, even if they are uncomfortable.
Well, in the chapter on being courageous, one of my favorite chapters, being courageous doesn't mean being fearless, right? That's bravery. Being courageous is stepping forward despite the fear.
Yep.
You make a distinction between pivotal moment courage and everyday courage. Can you describe that?
Let me just say, I love it that you've gone in deep into the book and you found something that really means something to me. So, Jeff, thank you, because I've never had people ask me this question on a podcast. The pivotal moment courage, we know very well. Like, most of us, if we were faced with an intruder coming into our house or something, we would not want to face that, but we know we would have to because of our family. And when I look at my life and, you know, losing $3 million in one day, you know, everyone goes, well, how did you get back up and keep going? I'm like, I didn't have a choice. I had to go pay the bills. I had to go, you know, do things that I'd never really done before. I mean, I'd had jobs before, but I had to go get a job, and I had to bring that level of courage and fight my way out of that corner. And as I've built my business and over the years, and this has been like last 6 or 7 years, I have realized that every day there's little moments of courage that we have to call upon. And actually, they're very silent and it's very subtle. And if you understand that every day you did something that pushes you out of a comfort zone and made you grow as a person and made you really question your inner beliefs and really pushed you to create something where you were standing up as a leader and really making a difference in the world, you would keep growing. And that was the difference going back to where I lost everything. And before that, I wasn't growing. I didn't have the everyday courage. I wasn't showing up that way. I kept pushing down and making all those other things, like, just like, leave me alone. And so I think about right now, are you facing pivotal moment courage? And my hope is yes, every one of us is. Mm. But are you really embracing everyday courage? Are you putting something on your list that really stretches you as a person? That to, instead of having a to-do list, you should have a courage list.
I love that.
That will give you a chance to grow every day and do something amazing out there.
Love that idea. Well, I have a couple of questions, Gene, I want to ask you, not directly related to the book. Much of my questions thus far have come out of the first two-thirds or so. Is there anything else before I move on that you want to make sure we know from the book?
The book is a lot about really finding yourself. And it really is that profound significance. Like, I don't make the money I used to make. Let's be completely honest with you guys. I'm doing really well. I'm making an impact in this world. And I focus on the difference I make. And it may sound weird, but I mean, I don't think about this very often, but I think my funeral, if I had it, you know, next week and whatnot, I would have a lot more people show up now than I would have back then, because I was selfish and I was not growing the way I wanted to. And I just made more money and I just, you know, said I was taking care of my family. And this book is something that if you really want to create something meaningful in your world and for others, that you really could use that as kind of a guidebook. And I didn't have anything like this back in those days. And I thought I was a pretty smart fella. But now I think that this book really is the book I needed when I wasn't growing the way I wanted to.
Gene, I know you lost your father a few years ago. I lost my dad in February. And the thing that just really gave me a sense of peace at the funeral was the overwhelming number of people that just came out of the woodwork and people I grew up with, you know, who, from the block, who I hadn't seen in decades, but who were there to tell me things like our street was a better street to live on. Our neighborhood was a better neighborhood to live in because of your dad. And to me, that's the epitome of what legacy is all about. And when I get to that place, that's the kind of comments I want being made when I'm being put to rest.
For sure.
Well, you reference a number of books in your book, as authors often do. What would you say are the two or three titles, whether they've been ones you've mentioned in the book or not, that come to mind, Gene, as having had a huge impact on you, and maybe share why or how they've impacted you over the years as they have?
I love books. I love to read. I mean, I one reason why I've caught to your podcast and being able to talk to the authors is really kind of special. I really love Start With Why. And I know you get that all the time here, but the way I think about that book is when I'm running my own business, I've got to know what that mission is, that real core purpose of what we're doing, because I want not only my employees to know what that is and what we're doing in this world and get them engaged and aligned with that, but I want my clients to know it too. And I want them to feel a part of it. And so I really do think about that, because I work a lot with leadership coaching and helping clients really figure out how to be better leaders. And I study the Inc. 5000 and all of that. But that one book is really a core foundation to leadership. I wish I would have written it instead of Simon. And the other book I would tell you is, and then there's two that are really great that are really about focus. The One Thing and Essentialism. The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan, and An Essentialism by Greg McKeown. They're very similar. They're different, but it's really about having this level of focus. I've been through times in my life where I just didn't have that kind of focus. And even when I had a $5 million business, I was all over the place and that was stressful. I can zone in right now using these books. You know, there are questions inside there and the things that really make me think about it. And I think about them every day. And so when you ask this question about which books impacted me, I mean, those books really have changed the way I lead today and run my business. Mm.
I'm a big believer, Gene, in a leader's ability to be an effective communicator and public speaker. And that's obviously something you're doing quite a bit of. As a successful speaker, what are some of your tips for delivering an impactful and memorable public talk?
Oh, how long do you have, Jeff?
As long as you want.
I love to speak from stage. And it really isn't about the ego. It's just like really creating a message that you know the audience needs. So I say this all the time. The best speech to the wrong audience is still a terrible speech. Because you got to know your audience. And the best way to know your audience is if you can know what they're thinking in their head. The reason jokes are so funny is because they're already somewhat in our mind and it's just someone else is saying it. And we just can cackle over this. I remember my wife watching a comedian saying something about how I would leave dirty dishes in the sink. And yes, sometimes I do that. And it's like you don't even see them. And my wife's like, that's you. That's you. So you want to create a speech where you know the audience and you can deliver elements of that speech where it's a conversation already in their head. But then you want to go past that and you want to shatter beliefs. So if they're holding on to their truth, you want to help them understand and see the truth. And then you want to make sure that you are delivering this with emotion. Everyone thinks about the words, they think about the slides, they think about everything except for what emotional journey am I taking the audience through? Am I starting high? Am I moving to a low point at some point in time? When do I bring them back up? And if you charted out your speech and your slides based on highs and lows, you should have a lot of variance there. It shouldn't be straight line, because that emotional stories and the emotional elements of this is what gets the audience to really connect with you or resonate with you when you're a speaker. And if you can have those, and there's a lot of other things, you can actually be a great speaker if you just think about those.
You said the word resonate, and I immediately think of people like Nancy Duarte, who wrote a book titled Resonate, and she talks very much about it, the impact of emotion and the sort of the up and down throughout the course of a talk. Great suggestion. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd love to know, Gene, what's around the corner for you? What are you and your team working on now that has you excited? Anything you can share?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lit up right now. I have, I had 3 clients hit the Inc. 5000 last year.
Oh, amazing.
And yeah, I was very honored to be a part of that growth. They get all the credit, but I was just guiding that journey. And you know, growing at 500% in a year is pretty fantastic. So they were on that list, and I got curious. And this was at the wrong time to get curious about something, because when a book is coming out, that book, you should be focused on that book. Well, I got this idea. What if I sent out emails to people from the Inc. 5000 to ask them about their growth? And I did this 3 weeks before my book launch. I was also delivering a new speech for the first time, with really revamped the entire speech. And I dance on stage, so I actually brought in dancing. Another story for another time. But I did this research with these Inc. 5000 CEOs, and I was able to get on the phone with them, some of them in person. This wasn't just a survey I sent out, but I ended up talking to 51 of them about why they grow so fast. Why are they in the hyper growth? And it has completely changed my business, and my top speech right now is about cultivating the entrepreneur spirit to activate hyper growth. And I'm showing up on bigger stages, and it's just exciting. I have bigger clients. I'm doing bigger challenges. And so I'm really just lit up about being able to be the kind of leader with these teams and these executives to talk about growth and really that entrepreneur spirit inside the company, and how does their leadership inspire ownership within the company.
Oh, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. Well, the book, again, is called The Trap of Success, A Brutally Candid Guide to Overcoming Your Fears, Finding Significance, and Attaining Profound Success. Gene Hammett is his name. Gene, thank you so much for giving of your time and sharing your expertise and experiences. I really appreciate it.
Perfect. I love it. Thanks for having me.
You know, 2 of the 3 authors that Gene mentioned a moment ago have been featured here on the show in interviews, and the third has visited our Read to Lead University book club. I'll include links in the show notes page to my interview with Simon Sinek on his book Leaders Eat Last, as well as my interview with Greg McKeown and his book Essentialism. Jay Papasan, co-author of The One Thing, visited the Read to Lead University book club a few months back, and I have to say it's a lot of fun discussing a book like that with listeners like you, with the author right there with us. And that's just one of the benefits of being a part of Read to Lead University. If you'd like to find out more about it and sign up, you can do that at readtoleaduniversity.com. And by the way, the show notes page where all these links and resources can be found is at readtoleadpodcast.com/214 for episode 214. I want to say thanks again to FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure and check out their free 30-day trial where you don't need a credit card and get access to all of FreshBooks features. FreshBooks.com/readtolead. Enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And finally, a big thanks to listener Laura Euland, who has given Read to Lead a 5-star rating and review in iTunes, calling it the number one podcast on her list. Thank you, Laura. You can leave a rating and review in iTunes by visiting readtoleadpodcast.com/iTunes. Well, that does it for this week. I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, remember, leaders read and readers lead.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.